हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Now move forward, Prabhu. Not there. It's going to be bad. Prabhu, move forward. Forward, forward, today. Or move towards altar.
Rama, 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 R Thank you. Hare
Hare Hey Aditya 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 Vishnu kuda
Vishnu kuda
Vishnu kuda Vishnu Jala chodun jata raha hai mala paage kala chaye to chala raha
hai
uthe aa raha hai uthe aa raha hai
Thank you.
Yeah.
रूपला लागेल आता रूपला लागेल पलीकडे पलीकडे वॉच कर तुम्ही काय प्रयत्न करताय वरती रूफला लागेल थोडे आवाज लागेल रूफला फाटेल नाही तर कापड कुठं अडकलं का हा चालू जाऊ दे जाऊ दे जाऊ दे जाऊ दे जाऊ दे नाव टिल्ट इट डिफरन्स Mataji's, can you all move forward? Everyone is going to go in front of the Maharaj otherwise. So new people can come, they can go behind you.
Faces. Maharashtra, I would all over the world to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. He's also maintaining a big eco village project in Belgaum in India, and he promotes a simple way of life. We're very fortunate to have Maharaj here. And on behalf of the host, I'm just asking everybody to tolerate the vitamin D that we'll get during the course of the class.
Did you see Maharaj?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. And because everyone's getting this vitamin D, this is a free swim after that.
Vishnu.
I'm very sorry I have kept all of you waiting for a long time. I had to go to one or two other places before coming here.
Mataji.
Okay, so we request please leave some space here for people who will come late. So if you can please shift this way. Shift like this.
Just pass from here to there. At least two people can share.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. आप दोनों शेयर कर लो
माता जी अजून दोन चार दिन पास ऑन शेअर
The sheet is being circulated, so you can share it amongst a few devotees. I wasn't expecting another program. This is a pleasant surprise. That's for me, we just kept at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Manasa Deha Deha. Mind, body, home. This is from the book called Sharanagati, composed by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, one of the great acharyas in our land. I'll read the translation before we sing the song. Mind, body, and family, whatever may be mind, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful. Son of
no, the person the problem in the white.
In good fortune or in bad, in life or at death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those lotus feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I may be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. May I be born again even as a worm. So long as I may remain your devotee, I have no desire to be born as a Brahma averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly liberation or worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Thakur Bhakti Vinod says, O Kanha, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. So this is a prayer of complete surrender. And someone will have to deal with the children making you surrender at somewhere else.
मानस देह देह जो किछु मोर अर्पिलो तुआ पदे नंद किशोर
सदेह
मानस देह के हो जो किछु मोर अर्पिलो तुआ पदे नंद sampade vipade jivane marane sampade vipade jivane marane dai mama gela tua opada para पद बराने मारो बिराखो भी जो इच्छा तोहार রাখবে জয় ইচ্ছা তোহার নিত্য দাস প্রতি অধিকার nitya das prati hua adhikar जन्मा भी मोए इच्छा यदि तो जन्मा भी मोए इच्छा यदि तो
Amara Parana
मानस देह के हो जो किछु मोर अर्पिलंतु आपदे नंद किशोर Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe
Jai Radha
Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe
His Divine Grace of Hari Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnanati Virandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chaksharun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Mitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shundavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Once again, I begin with an apology, keeping all of you wait. But it's such a nice place that I don't think you mind waiting long. Nice garden, nice weather, and this wonderful home, a nice temple of Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar. I was asked to speak today on the topic enriching family values in this modern age of cultural degradation. And this song really is the essence of enriching culture, of enriching family values. Why so? Because it is based upon the fundamental principle of surrender and devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. This is a foundational or fundamental good quality upon which all other good qualities will rest. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining that every pure devotee of the Lord has many, many qualities, but 26 of them which are most important have been identified. And he lists out these 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. And while commenting on these 26 qualities, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the most important one among them is called Krishnaika Sharana. Sharana means to take shelter or surrender. Eka means alone. So Krishnaika Sharana means to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. As Krishna himself explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Ekam Sharanam. In other words, Krishna is speaking about exclusive shelter. He doesn't speak about us taking shelter of Krishna and also taking a little shelter of some demigods or demigoddesses, also taking shelter of our wealth, of our intelligence, of our family. He's saying take exclusive shelter of Krishna. That's what the Ekam Sharanam means. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says something similar. Krishnaika Sharanam. Exclusive shelter of Krishna. To take exclusive shelter of Krishna means to understand that I have no other protector, no other maintainer, no other source of happiness, no other object of service except Krishna. And then, of course, our life revolves around Krishna and everything connected to Krishna. So this is a big subject, Sharanagati, surrender. We won't be discussing this topic at length today. But suffice it to say that surrender to Krishna is not something that is reserved only for a certain class of people. Generally, people think that only sannyasis are supposed to be surrendered to Krishna. Now, do any of you own a BMW? Please raise your hand if you do. I own one. This is my BMW. Body, mind and words. When body, mind and words are surrendered to Krishna, it is called BMW. A BMW car, but this is my BMW vehicle. It also serves a very interesting purpose of dealing with people who ask difficult questions after lectures. Actually, that is the primary purpose. Many times people ask me, what is that stick? So I say, yes, this is the reason for it. So then they are a little careful afterwards asking me questions. Sometimes at the airport people ask if it's a fishing rod. So very interesting questions come about as a result of that, because at the airport they never know what this stick is. Without fail I have to always answer, what is this stick? What does it contain? Why do you carry it? But if I answer it's my BMW, they'll think I'm, you know, doing something odd and probably arrest me or something. So then I don't give such answers there. So yes, body, mind and words surrender to Krishna. That is what surrender is all about. So similarly for a householder, manasa deha geha jokichumor arpuluntu apade nanda kishor. Body, mind, words, home, family, yes, wealth also. I offer to you jokichumor, whatever is mine, I offer to your lotus feet, O Nanda Kishore, O son of Nanda Maharaj. So this means that even a householder or a grihastha is supposed to take exclusive shelter of Krishna. While there are certain concessions that may be given in the grihastha ashram, it doesn't mean that the path or process of exclusive surrender to Krishna is only meant for sannyasis or those who are renounced externally. Everybody is supposed to be renounced internally. Some people are renounced externally, but everybody is supposed to be renounced internally. Externally, you may act in so many roles. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur himself has written this bhajan. And we hear Bhakti Vinod Thakur say, as we sung the other day in the temple, Jedina grihete bhajana dekhi golok grihete goloka bhai. When I come back to my home and see my family members engaged in bhajans and kirtans and chanting the holy name and devotional service, then I don't see my home, I see Goloka Vrindavan directly. So every family, every home is supposed to be Vrindavan. Every home should be the home of Krishna. Every home should be the place where the members of the family come together every day to serve Krishna, to serve Him, to love Him, to chant His glories, to hear about Him. Grihe thako vane thako sada hari bole dako. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has said elsewhere also, whether you stay in the house as a householder, vane thako, whether you stay in the forest as a sannyasi or a mendicant, always chant the names of Hari or Krishna. So surrender is meant for the renunciants, for the householders and for everybody, because this is the goal of life. It's not that sannyasis and brahmacharis and vanaprasthas have one goal of life and grihasthas have another goal of life. It's not like that. Everybody, every human being, in fact, every living entity has the same goal of life, to become a pure devotee of Krishna and to go back to Godhead. So this body, mind and words, and actually in this there is a fourth stick. See this, there is another protrusion from here. This is a hook, and that hook is meant to indicate the soul. Not only is the body, mind and one's words supposed to be surrendered to Krishna, but even one's very soul is supposed to be surrendered to Krishna. So everything we have, jokichu mor, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever is mine is yours, O Lord. Actually, who can say such a thing? Who can say this to the Lord, that whatever is mine is yours? One who understands that everything that is mine is actually the Lord's. That actually nothing is mine. Only one who truly understands that everything that is mine is not mine, it's Krishna's. Only such a person can actually say this with his heart, that I want to offer everything to you. So this process of surrender actually is nothing external, it is nothing artificial. It's not an artificial imposition. When worshippers of Mother Ganga enter the waters of the Ganga, how do they worship Ganga? They take water from the Ganga and offer it back to Ganga. And that is the worship of Ganga. So they're taking water from the Ganga, offering it to the Ganga. They're not offering anything outside of the Ganga to Ganga. So what are they adding then? Is there anything being added? What is being added? Why is it called worship then? Devotion. Because when that worshipper takes Ganga water and offers it back with devotion to Krishna, to Ganga, then Ganga is very pleased. There are many people who just take water and pour it in the Ganga. That's not called worship. Many people who live alongside the Ganga, they may take out water for so many purposes or release water into the Ganga for so many purposes. Nowadays, unfortunately, there's a lot of sewage that goes into the Ganga. Just simply because somebody is offering something to the Ganga or letting something go into the Ganga, it doesn't become worship. Even if it is treated sewage, the most important thing is the element of devotion. Similarly, worshippers of the sun god, they may offer a lamp to the sun. Now, lamp of fire is a product of the sun. So we are offering the sun's product to the sun. But what are we adding? Our respect, our devotion. So similarly, everything that we think is ours, everything that we claim to be our property, is actually Krishna's property. It was there before we were born, and it will also remain after we die and leave this world. Everything remains here. So it was Krishna's property, it will be Krishna's property, and even now, when we falsely claim proprietorship over it, it remains Krishna's property. But the process of surrender involves recognizing that these are not my things. These do not rightfully belong to me. They are Lord Krishna's property. And as any cultured or civilized person would do, they would not use somebody else's property for their enjoyment, at least without asking. So where is the question of renunciation? Suppose I come to your house and you have a very nice car, maybe a Mercedes car, and I say, I renounce this Mercedes car. And you have a very nice house, $5 million house, and I come and say, I renounce this house. You will say, well, that's funny, because it's not your house, how can you renounce it? But indeed, that's what we do in this world. So there is nothing like renunciation. So we are supposed to be renunciants, we carry this stick, but what are we renouncing? Nothing was ours in the first place to renounce. So So there's nothing to feel proud about that I have renounced the world. It was never mine in any case. But all we have to do is to renounce the false mentality that this is mine, that this is my property and I have the rights to enjoy it and to control it. So this principle or this recognition that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and everything has to be used only for His service, that is called surrender. So surrender is not some mystical thing where I have to go into the forest to surrender to Krishna. No. Living in Sydney, living at home, one can very easily surrender with one's complete heart. Not just heart, manasa deha geho. Mind, body, home, wealth, everything can be done even in an as-is, where-is condition. This is the process of surrender. All we are doing in this act of recognition is we are adding devotion to it. There can also be something like a passive recognition. When I say, well, this is not mine. Srila Prabhupada used to say that suppose there is a wallet that you find on the street. The wallet has a lot of money there. So there are different things we could do. One thing we could do is to pick up the wallet, you see that no one's watching, slip it in and go and enjoy that money. Another thing we could do is, as we pass by that wallet, we think, well, this is not mine, so I won't touch it. And we walk on. The third option is, I pick up the wallet, I look inside the wallet to see if there's a visiting card or some other identification inside. I locate the owner and I return the wallet to him. Of the three choices open to me, which is the worst one? First one, when I pick up somebody else's wallet and I enjoy the money. Which is the best one? The last one. What about the one in the middle, the second option? I don't steal it, so why is it not a recommended option? It's neutral. It's not a great act of piety to not steal. I cannot claim fame or honor or prestige or recognition or fame because I'm not stealing. If one is a thief, one gets criticized. But it doesn't mean that because one is not a thief, one should be praised. Well, a person who is not a thief, there's only one place he may be praised where everybody else is a thief. Amongst all these thieves, there's one person at least who is not stealing. So then everybody glorifies. Oh, I just see this man is so great. So, when we recognize that everything belongs to Lord Krishna, but we just leave it aside and we don't want to touch it, this kind of passive renunciation is also something neutral. At least the person is not stealing Krishna's property. That's to his credit. But then, it's not the best. Because he's not using it in the service of the proprietor of that, of the whole creation. So, the first category of people enjoy this material world, thinking it is their property. Or even if it is not their property, they still like to snatch and grab and enjoy this world. They are called karmis or bhogis, false enjoyers of this world. The second type of people are those who are on the path of jnana or yoga, yogis, renunciants and so on. Srila Prabhupada used to say, there were some swamis who would come to the West and if the people give them money, they'll say, no, 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 money is sin, I will never touch it, money is maya. Money is material. I will not touch it. So that is their idea. And then there are the third category of transcendentalists who are called bhaktas or devotees. So Prabhupada said, if somebody comes and offers me money, I will put both my hands forward. Yes, please give it to me. because I know that money means Lakshmi, and Lakshmi is to be used in the service of Lord Narayan. Because a devotee is not meant to misuse that money for his own enjoyment. He is meant to use that money for Lord Krishna's pleasure, for his service. So therefore, when it comes to using Lord Krishna's property for Lord Krishna's service, anybody can do it. It doesn't have to be one who is externally a renunciate. So this, as I said in the beginning of the talk, is the fundamental principle of all good qualities. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this one quality of Krishnaika Sharana is the most important, because it is from this one good quality that all other good qualities emanate. If one has this one quality of Krishnaika Sharana, exclusive surrender to Krishna, then naturally, by the process of devotional service and by Krishna's mercy, all the other good qualities of a Vaishnava will come in one's person, even without artificially attempting to bring these qualities on. This is the wonderful part of devotional service. So in the same way, when we talk of family values, we talk of bringing in nice family values. What is that one value, that one quality that is necessary in a family to bring in all other good qualities in a family? To bring in happiness, to bring in unity, to bring in care, to bring in security, to bring in respect. Everything else that we desire in a happy family. What is it that is foundational to that? What is that foundational value? Krishnaika Sharana. Exclusive shelter of Krishna. This is the most important value, or the most important quality. We cannot have united, happy, prosperous families, at least not for long, unless there is Lord Krishna placed firmly in the center. You have heard the English proverb. I think children, somebody is looking after. Is there another room where they can be taken so we can have proper family values? So you've heard, I'm sure, the English proverb, a family that prays together stays together. How many of you have heard this proverb? A family that prays together stays together. And a family that doesn't pray together, it strays together, strays away, they all separate. All move away, different places. How true this is. And this is not an ISKCON devotee who has made this proverb, by the way. It is an old English proverb. So people in other cultures also recognize this very important fact, that when you keep God in the center and all the members of the family are fixed in devotion to the Supreme Lord, then all these other qualities come in. Last year, if you remember, we had done a two-day retreat on Grihastha Ashram right here in Sydney. And we had spoken a lot about this point, about the kinds of values that are necessary. And we had an exercise in which many of the devotees started writing down what certain words meant to them, or what pictures they evoked in their mind when we use the word traditional family values or life and modern family life. When we spoke the words traditional family life, immediately various words came to people's devotees' minds and they wrote them down. When we said modern family life, certain words came to everybody's mind. And it was interesting how most of the groups that were formed came up with very similar answers for both traditional family life and modern family life. In general, do you remember some of those points? When you say traditional family life, what comes to your mind? Joint family, respect of elders, food. What about food? Food is there in both. Hot food. Hot food. And especially? Homemade hot food. Yes. Well, prasadam. Okay, food. Food offered to Krishna. Maybe that's only in devotee families. But traditionally, yes. Mother cooking food for the family. The one thing that comes to mind is mother. Immediately the word mother comes to mind. What is a family without a mother? Yes, mother is very, very crucial. Ramayana says, sorry all you fathers, you can just, you, if you don't like it, that's the fact. The scriptures say that the mother is 10 times more important than the father. All the father's role is also very, very important, no doubt. But the mother is many, many times more respectable. Because what the mother can do, nobody can do. So, what else does traditional family life bring to your mind? Respect, love for each other. Yes? There is love. Love and affection in the family. There is security. There is stability. There is warmth. There is happiness. There are also problems, no doubt. Especially the larger the family, there's some politics and sharing, caring, giving. So many, many values come up automatically in the traditional family setup. And in the modern family setup, what are the words that come to your mind? Fast food, fast marriages, fast breakups, fast communication, fast children. What are the other words that come to mind? Individuality. Too little or too much? A lot. Too much of individuality. Everyone wants their own space, yes. Technology. What happens as a result of technology? It unites or divides? Divides. Technology is dividing people, in not uniting people. But when there was less technology, people were more united. We have made technology to unite people, but we end up dividing people. What else?
Retirement village for old people.
That was the job of whom? Earlier in traditional life, who did that? The children did that when they looked after the older, elder parents. So we see that the traditional family structure had certain values. The modern family life has its own particular situation and values. Why so? What is the difference between traditional and modern? What is the fundamental difference? The traditional is more God-conscious, less materialistic, less ambitious, less individualistic, more service-oriented. Whereas the modern setup is more selfish, more individualistic, more materialistic, less God-centered. And therefore, everything is crumbling today. You hardly see families now in different parts of the world. Regular families, you hardly see. Even in places where there is traditional cultures, ancient cultures, that is also breaking up very fast. Because the moment you keep God out of the picture, then everything collapses. Because you've taken out the foundation, the fundamental point has been taken out, then it's only a matter of time
before everything else starts crumbling. Just in a matter of 50 years this has happened. So a culture that was prevalent for millions and millions of years has collapsed in just 50 years, 100 years. Just imagine the situation. And the more advanced, so-called advanced we become, the more scientifically and technologically capable we become, the more sophisticated we become, the worse the problem is getting. As we were coming in the car, Govindhari was speaking, we were talking about technology. And I was mentioning how so much problem is caused by technology. And I was saying how Facebook, then he said, please talk about Facebook in the lecture. Yes, indeed. Do you know that in America, in UK, a very large percentage, I think it's 30% or something like that, really that large, of marriages break up because of Facebook. Did you know that? Facebook breaks up marriages. Unbelievable. Actually, very believable. All the conveniences, so-called conveniences of modern-day life are exclusively responsible for so much inconvenience. We bring them on into our life so that they can become convenient, but they end up making life so much more inconvenient and painful. All because we want to live the good life. We think we are advancing. All because we have a wrong idea of what progress is, of what advancement is. According to the Vedic culture, real advancement means advancement of spiritual life, advancement of Krishna consciousness. But modern day materialistic life says advancement means advancement of science, advancement of technology, advancement of sophistication in the way of doing things. That is the difference. And therefore, we see that today the family units are crumbling. So then what do we need to do to restore the family balance and to restore those traditional values once again and bring happiness into the lives of the society? We have to bring Krishna back. And even when Krishna comes back and the family members become devotees, still, we see that there is so much influence of the outside world. All the devotees carrying so much baggage of their past before they became devotees, of the surroundings and also of the past. So that same very, very individualistic approach, that same lack of understanding, tolerance, lack of patience, everything quick, everything should be fast, that is affecting the lives of even devotee families. So there may be so many quarrels and misunderstandings. So this is the most important point, to keep Krishna firmly in the center. But in order that Krishna may remain in the center and not be away after some time, we also have to follow certain ways of living, certain lifestyle that would be conducive to this. So we have to be very careful, because the topic that I've been given today to speak on is enriching family values in the face of modern cultural degradation. So if we have to enrich the family values, then we have to enrich our devotion to Krishna, enrich the process of surrender to Krishna, and discard those things, or those practices, or those ways of life that will interfere with this process. And that will eventually bring in disunity and trouble. When we keep life simple, the problems are also very simple and easy to resolve. When life is very complicated, then problems are also very complicated and very hard to resolve. So what are some of the things apart from lack of devotion? But let's say that there's a devotee family and they're all trying to perform devotional service to Krishna. What could be the other factors that could not enrich but take away from the family values or diminish the good family values? What could be some things like that? Technology is one thing, yes. Why technology? Why is technology such a botheration for the family? Even though technology has its good sides, we can log in and see what is happening in Mayapur and Vrindavan. We can hear so many lectures. We can see videos of devotional programs. So technology has its great benefits. We are using this microphone. But, sorry? I can't hear you, sorry.
We start paying most of our time for doing the mundane activities.
We spend most of our time for the technology, with technological things, yes. Okay, now, tell me honestly, raise your hand. How many of you have complaints about some of your family members spending too much time with technology? You're not being honest. Or you are very good. One of the commonest complaints is, oh, my children, or my parents, or my husband, or my wife, they just spend too much time in front of the computer. One lady told me, in anger, I am the second wife. The apple is the first wife. He comes home from work and sits there. I don't know what he does, but he sits and he does like this. So yes, we see the technology is creating a barrier. What are we doing on that laptop? We're communicating with somebody sitting in another continent, another country, another city, and we're ignoring the person in the next room or in the same room. The same room, the person wants to talk to us, but we are busy talking to somebody in another continent. So then, for those who are staying with us, there's a barrier that is created. It becomes impersonal. So we are now developing a taste for dealing with technology and instruments, gadgets, that is all pervasive. I remember I went to some place and the bathroom was so high tech, I could not figure it out. And the problem is I started something and I was in a position where I couldn't go out again. Then I'd get my spectacle, try to understand and what is this, and I was always hesitant. Is something, suddenly something will come from somewhere. Hot water, cold water, you don't know what's going to come from where. Yes. Then there's something, suddenly something rose up, and then something just, and there was some where you didn't have to press it, just put your finger, and there was some photo cell that, you know, detected the signal and activated something else. And I was thinking, this is like some espionage game or something, some futuristic world. And that too for a bathroom and a toilet. You see, the thing is, I'm sorry I'm being so blunt, but please don't mind, but it's a fact. A toilet is supposed to be a place where you go do your business and come out quickly. It's not meant to be a place where you surround yourself with all fancy things and technology and then you're inclined to spend a lot of time there. One of our devotees, he went to another country. He was describing his friend's bathroom. It was a huge bathroom complex. It's like a huge area. And inside the bathroom, of course, there's a toilet, there's a shower. And then there are chairs, and there's, you know, magazine racks, and there's TV, there's computer, everything in the toilet and bathroom. Why do you need all these things in the toilet and bathroom? Don't you have a big living room, and you have bedroom, you have so many other spaces? That means they must be spending hours in the toilet. So now, because we have technology that is all around us, what we are doing is we are developing a relationship with gadgets more than with people. So now, everywhere we go, whether it's a car, whether it is our iPhones, our computers, our laptops, our everything is just technology and gadgets. Now just reflect, look into your life about how you think you are interacting more with gadgets and technology than with human beings. There are five relationships that one can have with God, with Krishna, isn't it? I think all of you know that. Which are those five relationships? What are those five relationships called? Shanta. Shantaras, that is? Neutral. Then? No. Dasya. Dasya-ras is one can become a servant of God. Shantaras is when one has a relationship of neutrality, which means there is just awe and reverence, but there isn't a spirit of service so much. Then the spirit of service, that I am the servant of God, that is called Dasya-ras. Then? Sakya. Not Sakya, Sakya. Sakya-ras. That is when I accept God as my friend and have a relationship of friendship with God. Fourth, Vatsalya, where I accept God as my child. So God accepts us as His parent. Very unique. In other traditions one doesn't find this. Even friendship one hardly finds. It's mostly Shantaras that is there everywhere. And to some degree, Dasya. But Sakya, very rarely do you find it outside of Krishna consciousness. And Vatsalya, oh, you can't think of such a thing. And then Madhurya, which is the fifth ras, where one relates to God as lover and beloved. Now, these five relationships are the original relationships that happen in the spiritual world. There is family life in Goloka Vrindavan. There is family life in Vaikuntha. There are husband, wife, children, everything is there. But the difference is, Krishna is in the center. The special feature of Vrindavan that distinguishes it from all other places is that in Vrindavan, all the householders, the couples, they have children, but they all love Krishna more than their own children. Now that is something very unusual. Is that possible in human society? People generally love children, but they will love their own child more than other children. That is a natural thing that we see. But in Vrindavan, the Brajabasis love Krishna more than their own children. This is what distinguishes Vrindavan from other places. So they have their family life, but their family life revolves around Krishna. These relationships are all there with Krishna. And related to Krishna, they have their relationships amongst each other. So they also have husband, wife, so they have that madhurya. Then there are, they have their children, so Vatsalya is there. They have Sakya, there are friends. There is Dasya, there are servants also. There is Shanta, there are the trees and the grass and water, which also serves Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But the primary relationship that every Brajabasi has is to Krishna in different mellows. And then accordingly they have these five relationships with other devotees living in Vrindavan. Now, those five original pure relationships of Goloka Vrindavan are pervertedly reflected here in this material world. As we were discussing yesterday in the seminar, that everything that is found in the spiritual world is found in its reflected, perverted form in the material world. Therefore, love in the spiritual world becomes lust. Compassion or kindness in the spiritual world becomes anger. Appreciation for others becomes envy. Satisfaction with whatever is existing becomes greed. And pure knowledge becomes illusion or ignorance. So similarly, these pure relationships that exist with Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, also exist here, but in a reflected and perverted form. Yes, they also have their family life, the birds. See, they're calling each other. They're responding. They have their relationships. We don't know what kind of... There is something there. Maybe it's a husband-wife quarrel or something going on. They've fought and they're living apart for a while. They'll come back. I don't think they've got to the point of divorce yet. But So therefore, in this world too, we have these relationships. But more and more as technology goes by, we are encouraging the Shantaras, because we are now dealing with instruments, with appliances, with gadgets, with technology. This is Shantaras. So the more and more we have the Shantaras with machines and with technology and so on, what happens to that degree? Our relationships with the people of this world is getting impersonal. And that happens within the families as well. So one of the things we need to do to enrich our family values is to see that we keep technology in its place, that we spend time amongst each other. There should be always time you should keep for your family. However busy one may be, even in Krishna consciousness, one may be busy doing the right things, going out to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere, doing devotional service, but one should also try to ensure that one spends sufficient time with the family to enrich the relationships between the members of the family. That is very important. Otherwise, everything becomes impersonal. There are certain communities, religious communities, from other religious faiths that I know of. And one of them, they don't allow telephones in the house. Do you know why? That is their GBC has decided. For our people, no telephones in the house. There's one public telephone outside in the community. Why is that? Any guesses?
That's home time. That's for the family members.
That's for the home time. Home is for home. And everything else becomes very impersonal. If you want to go and talk to someone, you should go to his house and meet him. That's the idea. Not that you just call. And now calling is so easy. There's no privacy left now. Just see the contradiction. In an era when we are doing everything for more privacy, more individualism, our privacy is getting taken away completely. Facebook, internet, your mobile phones. And nowadays, because of so many other things, you have this card and that card, everybody knows everything. The government knows everything about you. You don't have any individualism left. I remember in another country, one devotee was driving me. Somehow I think he must have gone beyond the speed limit or something. And when the police car came along, pulled him up to the side. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I think I oversped." So then the police called him into the car. So then he went and sat inside, and after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he came back. And then he said, "No, I just paid a little fine and then I went away." But then he said, "You know something?
They asked me for my license. I gave a license. They had a computer. They just put my name in the computer. And everything about me was there on the screen. Which school I went to, how many family members I have, who my sister's husband is, where he lives, what he does, which bank accounts I have. Every little thing, which house I had before, that was sold in this new house, when did everything was there. So this is what modern technology does. We think we are being very private and very individualism. We try to cover ourselves, but within that, everything is known anyway. So therefore, in our search for greater privacy and individualism, we are actually going in the opposite direction. Therefore, there is no need for too much individuality, no need for too much privacy. In traditional family life, there wasn't so much privacy. What is the need for so much privacy? Why does one need so much privacy? Only one has something to hide, then one needs a lot of privacy. So everybody lived together. I remember I met one gentleman, he was a doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, when I had gone for treatment one time. And he said that he was from Kerala, from Guruvayurappan temple. And his family was a priestly family. But he had opted out of the priestly services and long ago. And then he became a doctor. And many of his generation and his father's generation also had moved on. But they all lived in one lane. In that one lane, they were all relatives, maybe first cousins, second cousins, third cousins, and so on and so forth. They all had their own homes. And there were maybe 20, 30, 40 different homes on this whole street. And naturally, because there were many families, there were also many children. And the children, he said, when I was a child, he said, we never knew where I would be eating in the afternoon. I could go to any home and eat. So it was like one house. Children would just go in and go out, and nowadays you have to take appointments. You don't go to anybody's place without an appointment. But the Vedic culture is atithi. Vedic word for guest means atithi. Atithi means a tithi. One who comes without telling you when he's coming is a guest. That's a real guest. So you should be prepared to receive a guest anytime with sweet words. Not say, oh no, he's coming this time. Just as I was about to see my favorite soap on the TV, and just then. So therefore, we have to be cautious about technology. We also have to make conscious effort to bring these values back. We have to teach them to our children. We have to practice them in our life. Some of these values you already mentioned. That is so essential. But everything that binds it all together is our devotional service, devotion to Krishna. So culture, the culture of family life, is very essential, because that is the crucible, or that is a vehicle, or that is the vessel in which the nectar of Krishna consciousness can remain, and from which we can drink nicely. Otherwise, it is very hard for Krishna consciousness to remain. If you don't have that culture, even if somebody is a devotee, but because the devotee is living in a different culture other than a conducive, favorable Vedic culture, it will be very hard for that devotee to maintain his or her devotional service. Very hard. Because a Vedic culture is naturally supportive of such a thing. And the family culture is very, very important, because it facilitates this development. It gives us a psychological, emotional, and social support structure in which we can very easily
and happily do our Krishna consciousness lifelong, when there are constant instabilities in the family and there are quarrels or there is broken homes, broken families, it is harder to do Krishna consciousness. Therefore, for us to revive the traditional family structure, to enrich family values, is very, very important for the sanity of the society, for the stability of the society, so that everyone may gradually make advancement in Krishna consciousness and eventually go back to Godhead. The Grihastha ashram is a very important ashram because it gives rise to all three other three ashrams. Even sannyasis are born in the Grihastha ashram. They didn't fall from the sky. Right? The vanaprasthas, brahmacharis, and other grihasthas, all born in the Grihastha ashram. So the samskaras, the impressions that they have got, they all got it during their Grihastha ashram days, when they were growing up in their homes, in their family. So what kind of impressions and what kind of culture we give to our children will determine their consciousness and their behavior and attitudes when they grow up. So it is very, very essential that we maintain these traditional values. The family lives together, supports each other, and keeps Krishna in the center. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, in fact he says it in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports, I think in the Manmana Bhagavan Bhakto verses, one of those two. He says that every family must do certain things every day. Number one, they must offer their food, sattvic food, mode of goodness, vegetarian food, to Krishna. They must have a small temple in their home. You may have regular deities or you may have the photos, no problem. Pictures or photos or deities, depending on how well you can take care of them. And every day the food should be offered to Krishna, and we should eat nothing other than Krishna prasadam. Second thing Srila Prabhupada says is that the family members must gather together in front of the deities every day and have some sankirtan. They should chant together the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the children, adults, elders, everyone should sit and chant. The children must be forced to sit as well. That is very important. Third, Prabhupada says, one must hear from the holy books like the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Somebody must read, somebody must explain for a few minutes. And then we must invite other people to come, and we must have devotional programs in the house, or we must go to the temple as a family and offer services. So these are important things that are necessary to keep the family values enriched and stable, so that the family unit remains a sustainable phenomenon in this world. Otherwise, now we are witnessing it is all dying out. Please remember that our ultimate family is there. If we enrich our family values in this life and Krishna consciousness, then we can prepare ourselves for our real family life, which is in the spiritual world. Even those who are brahmacharis, sannyasis here, they're also family, they're also grihasthas in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, there are no sannyasis. Have you heard of Goloka Vrindavan having sannyasis? What will they do? Renounce from what? Nothing to renounce from over there. So in Goloka Vrindavan, there's no sannyasis. All are householders. Perfect family life. But completely pure. All centered on Krishna. So we must keep Krishna in the center and progress towards that ultimate family life, towards which we have been hankering for. that family life with Krishna. Here, this is our devotee family, the larger family, an extended family of devotees. So the devotees must cooperate with each other in such a nice way that it becomes one big family. Yesterday I was in the temple in the evening, and the temple president made a nice announcement that there is some land of a few acres in the north of Sydney, and the government has given permission, has given all the clearances to purchase that land, and efforts are underway now to try to purchase that land. So if that happens, then hopefully there can be a larger temple of Radha Gopinath in which many, many devotees can come and sit together. Just like when the family size grows, if there are many generations that come, larger number of children, then you have to move to a bigger house. In Singapore, I went to one house, and then the owner happened to mention, this is called a 2G house. So I said, what does that mean? He said, two-generation house. So I said, can you explain? He said, look, this has two doors. So they're like two, and you can make a partition in between, so you have two identical halves. So in case the next generation doesn't get along with the current generation, then they can have the other half, and then you can live in this half and just put a partition. But then they become two independent houses. Anyway, so interesting ways in which we are coping with the world now as things go on. 2G house. But can we have a 3G house or a 4G house? There is one family I heard of in Srirangam in South India, the temple town of Ranganath. There were 63 family members living together, many generations. The eldest must have been 90s or whatever. And then they had so many sons, and they had their sons, and they all staying there. Of course, the daughters were married away, they went. 63 members, and yes, you will not believe this. Should I say it? They did not cook at home. They don't have a kitchen. Why? They take Mahaprasadam from the temple. Mahaprasadam of the deities is there. They have priestly family. So the prasadam comes from their happy family. 63 people staying together. 3G, 4G, all no partitions, all in one house. Nowadays in India there's things going on. 3G scam, 2G scam, 4G scam. So many scams and scandals going on. So we have our share of 2G and 3G. So sometimes when the family grows, then we need a bigger house. So fortunately, happily, the devotee family in Sydney is growing. So the temple that is there now, and you know, the Gopinath temple is small, the room is very small. So hopefully now if you have a big temple where hundreds of devotees can sit at the same time, then that will be a very wonderful thing that can happen. So that's the good news. So whether it is your own individual family or whether it is a larger devotee family living in Sydney or whether it is a larger ISKCON family worldwide or whether it is eventually the entire world, we have our goal is to make the entire world as one family of Krishna. What a wonderful thing it will be, just imagine. The scriptures say, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, that the whole world is one family. This is the Vedic vision, that the whole world is one family. So this should be ultimately our goal. Srila Prabhupada also said that I have built a house in which the whole world can live. That is what this ISKCON movement is meant for. So we welcome people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, from all caste, creed, communities, nationalities. All can live together happily as one family serving Krishna. What what a wonderful family this will be and what a wonderful world this will be. This is our goal, this is our aspiration. So thank you very much. I would like to thank Viraj Krishna Prabhu and his good wife, Purna Kushal Devi, right? And of course Mukunda, and also Viraj Krishna Prabhu's parents who are also here and giving us a nice example of how a nice family should be. 3G family. So thank you for your hospitality this evening and making nice arrangements for all of us to have this satsang. And thank you for having come here, all of you, this evening, this afternoon, for this program. And if there are any questions or comments, we can have some time for that. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Thank you very much for the class. I have two questions from the internet, Mayapur TV.
Sorry?
I have two questions from the Mayapur TV audience.
Oh, Mayapur TV is on the internet?
Yes.
Oh, I have to be careful.
Disadvantage of technology.
Oh, that's technology. I have to be careful. I forget, you see, sometimes that we say certain things sometimes locally is meant for local consumption and someone sitting somewhere can hear and say, oh, I wish it. Okay, but I didn't say anything that was controversial. So I think it's okay. Yes.
The first question is, how do we know practically that we are surrendering to Krishna? How can we judge our level of surrender and continue to increase it?
Okay, so the question is, how can we judge our level of surrender and how can we continue to increase it? There is a definition of surrender which appears in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone knows that verse? Some of you nice, many scholars here, no? No? Anukulyasya sankalpaha pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptritve varanam tatha atmanikshepa karpanyam shadvidha sharanagatihi. So the sharanagati or surrender has six limbs or six ways to understand it. The first one is anukulyasya sankalpaha, to with great determination accept in one's life all things that are very favorable for Krishna consciousness. Second, pratikulyasya varjanam, with great determination to reject all those things which are unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. So one of the tests of surrender for us, or two of the tests, are to see whether we are doing that or not. Are we accepting things practically in our life that are very favorable for Krishna consciousness? Are we sufficiently doing it and doing it with enough determination? Second, are we trying to keep away from our life all those things that are harmful for our Krishna consciousness? That's the second symptom. So we can judge it like that. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso, to have staunch faith that Krishna will protect me, my family. Not only Krishna, it is only Krishna who can protect and Krishna will protect. So that staunch faith in Krishna's protection is required. So to the degree that I have this staunch faith that Krishna will protect me, I can understand I am surrendered. Goptritve varanam, to understand that it is Krishna who is actually my maintainer. It is not that I am maintaining my family by my own intelligence and efforts. Yes, these things are there. But ultimately it is Krishna who is maintaining. Atmanikshepa, which means I can desire whatever I like, but I am completely dependent on Krishna for fulfilling those desires.
So understanding that I'm dependent on Krishna for everything, even the smallest of things. And sixth, karpanyam, to have humility, to feel oneself insignificant. To the degree one has developed real humility, one can understand one's degree of surrender. So these are some practical tips by which one can judge and understand what surrender is. Alright?
Thank you very much. We'd like to have the
second question.
Youth of today are after independence and always want to be independent. How can we teach the youth of today the values of Vedic culture, which talks about the family support and togetherness?
The question is, the youth of today are very independent. How can we teach them the values of the Vedic culture so that they can stay together and understand the
family support?
Fundamentally, of course, by giving them Krishna consciousness. That's the bottom line. But in order for the youth to be able to accept Krishna consciousness properly, it is also very helpful if they are in a situation that is very conducive and helpful for that purpose. So creating an atmosphere at home where from childhood one has been getting a lot of shelter, a lot of affection, a lot of guidance, a lot of support, you see, will help one to face the challenges that the modern world presents. Increasingly, the modern world is becoming a more and more difficult place to live in, especially for one who wants to be a spiritual person. So that kind of support structure is very important, very necessary. So number one, we have to give them Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Number two, we have to give them a very supportive, favorable home or a family situation. And number three, there must be a larger supportive peer community of young people who are also involved in spiritual activities, who understand the importance of Vedic culture. Then they will, in that association, they will be strong in their Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Any other questions? Yes.
Because of Vrindavan, when the family get the body.
You have to speak a little louder.
Sir, in Goloka Vrindavan, when someone gets the body, what sort of body they get?
What sort of body do they get in Goloka Vrindavan? A wonderful body. Spiritual body. No disease, no old age, no death, no birth. No lamentation, ever fresh, ever shining, never gets dirty, very beautiful body, indestructible body. Our body presently in this material world is made of matter, and the soul is made of spirit, spiritual. In the spiritual world, the body itself is spiritual. There's no difference between the body and the soul in Goloka Vrindavan, in Vaikuntha. The body itself is full spirit. Right? And according to one's mood of love for Krishna, depending on which of the five mellows that we love Krishna in, the five relationships, one will get an appropriate body. So if one goes to Goloka Vrindavan, somebody may be gopi, someone may be a cowherd boy, someone may be a cow, someone may be an elder gopa or gopi, someone may be a tree, someone may be a blade of grass. But all are wonderfully serving Krishna there. Even the blade of grass is very happy, fully satisfied serving Krishna. Would you like to go there? What about you? Would you all like to go there?
Yes.
And yes, no demerits and no such problems, fines and road signals. It's a wonderful place to be in, from what the scriptures tell us. Yes, in Goloka Vrindavan, just like you see in the pictures in our books, Krishna with the cowherd boys, you see there two armed, you don't see four armed cowherd boys. But in Vaikuntha, in the rest of the spiritual world, there you might find four armed forms. Because there you have Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu. It is only in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, that you will find the Lord with his two armed form. Elsewhere in the spiritual world, as Vishnu or Narayan, Lord Krishna appears in his four-armed form. So there, the sum of many of the residents will also have four arms. Any other one last question? Yes. Is your question, and how can we perform our duties towards our family members without being too much emotionally attached? Well, it is natural that some degree of emotional attachment will be there, because without that, it is very hard to do things in this world. So one may do that, but one should do it in connection with Krishna. One should keep Krishna in the center. One should understand that these family members are not my property. They have been sent to me by Krishna to serve in different ways. So my service to them, because it is in connection with Krishna, is also something Krishna conscious. There is that one famous quote of Srila Prabhupada where one lady devotee who has got a small child, just given birth to a child recently, and she used to do pujari service in the temple, and she asked Srila Prabhupada, should I look after my child or should I do my deity worship? And Prabhupada tells her, for you in this situation, child worship is more important than deity worship. Child worship is deity worship, he says. So in that situation, there is no question of that lady just not serving a child and going to do some service in the temple. If she is able to look after the child when the child has grown up a little bit, and then she can revive once again her devotional services, that's wonderful. Or she comes to the temple with the family members, and turn by turn, everybody takes care of the child, so she attends all the programs. So she also needs to be Krishna conscious. It's very important that she must come and hear lectures and participate in kirtan and do a little seva. But this service is also very, very important. So we see all these services in connection with Lord Krishna. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.